This is a Gutter production.
How are we living?
Pretty good. I feel a little better now that I realize I was able to change the review back to 5 stars.
Gannon had accidentally given Gutter its only 1-star review on iTunes.
Good. You should. Yeah, it's not a problem at all.
We're back. We're back.
And then once it updates, it will refresh. And
it'll take 2 days or whatever. But
yeah. It'll take 2 days and then our thing will go back up and we will be back as 5-star golden standard.
Somehow it's been edited to 0 stars?
What the fuck?
It's bringing us down to 4.1 now.
Don't make this too funny. Don't get any ideas.
It's changing now. It's 5. It says dark stars and they're purple. Our rating is now -1.3.
What the fuck? I'm getting a phone call from Steve Jobs? What the hell?
He's the hell? Calling
Elmer.
From beyond the grave.
Oh, no.
I have to abandon my daughter again.
You guys, I'm inside an iPod. Help me.
Oh, my goodness.
It's an iPod Touch.
An iPod.
Touch me.
Oh, I'm going to touch you, baby. Oh, yeah. You like that? You like that little...
I'm glad we started recording for this. Okay. Well, Lenny, let them finish.
Sorry.
And when I say finish...
Sorry.
No, they have to edge and not finish. I'm interrupting so that
the
you
edge,
are
how did
not
you know?
Allowed to finish.
How did you know this thing has YouTube? U2 on here. they put U2 on all the iPods. You remember that?
Mm-hmm.
That's right.
Remember that fucking shit they tried to pull?
Yeah.
Character sheets? Do we got them?
We got them.
Got your character sheets on hand?
On hand.
Yeah.
Dice? You got your dice rolling stuff on hand?
Ring.
In Slack.
I just use Slack, yeah.
There we go.
So yes.
Okay, those are important.
Uh-oh. Don't scare me.
I was hoping this would be no rules.
You better not kill me.
No promises. No promises.
I like my guy. I don't want to die yet.
No promises.
You better promise right now.
Okay, so Violet. You wake up with a start. It is unexplained. Bolt awake. As you do just about every day. You're curled up in a sleeping bag right now. You're looking up at a dark ceiling. It's dark right now in this old Victorian house. And you're lying there, awake, and you have this compulsion, this impulse inside you. It's almost like a hunger. Just, like, chewing at you. You assume that it's a cigarette. You want a cigarette. Nasty little happy you got there. Gotta quit, by the way. But anyway, it's calling to you.
She gets up.
Mm-hmm.
Because, as you know, you want a cigarette. You gotta have it right now. And she goes outside, because she doesn't want to light anything on fire, and does not even bother to put on her shoes, and... Like you said, it's dark out, and it's a little chilly and cold. And she reaches into her pocket, lights up a cigarette, and she takes a deep, deep drag.
All right. It's hitting your bloodstream. You taste the nicotine. But the hunger is still there. The impulse is still present.
At that point, then, she... comes to like this moment of realization, and she starts to walk toward Booger.
Yeah, it's cold as hell out there. Really cold. Sort of like a distant fog in the trees. You're like crunching over little pine cones and rocks and this and that. You can hear the occasional of the noisemakers. You can hear the sound, the bird song. Very, very chilly. And you look up at the trees. The trees are all bent and strange. They're forming dark, creeping silhouettes across the gray sky that is Still pretty dark, but the sun is just starting to rise. You're making out these kind of ghastly silhouettes.
So she goes over to Booger and opens up the door, and it's, as we've discussed, it's full of trinkets and knickknacks and charms, and it is completely covered in doodles. I don't remember if I mentioned that or didn't, but it's covered everywhere. It's like Violet is an artist. She loves to draw, and she once upon a time went to art school, and it's a passion that never got pursued, but still she finds little ways to bring it back into her life. And she kind of takes a second to admire or just like tap into the doodles that are everywhere, and she kind of rests her hand over one section that's by the glove compartment. You know, there's like a lightning bolt, an upside down house, an eyeball, and she opens up the glove compartment and grabs a red sketchbook, and she leaves the car. She goes back to the backyard, back to that area where they were having their meal outside and everything. And then she looks up at the trees and she starts sketching feverishly.
Yeah. So Violet's there. She's sitting on one of the picnic tables, sitting by this big wooden stage behind the painted Lady Victorian house of the scrapyard, aka crapyard. And she's sketching these trees, and it's like almost mindless. It's like her hand almost has like a mind of its own. She's marking out the trees, and in these gestures, it's almost like these illustrations, they look more like symbols, seeing like a zigzag, an upside down house, eyes, a pyramid with notches in it. And all of a sudden, Violet, your reveries are broken. The back door of the house bursts open and a gaggle of kids run out hooting and hollering. You sort of like shake your head. How long have you been sketching? You look up, it's a lot brighter outside. You must have been doing this for hours. Just totally lost track of the time. The kids are going nuts. They're running around you, running around the picnic tables. They're chasing each other. They're laughing. Violet, you turn to the house and you see Scratch, the lady, Amy, who you saw before, who was wearing she's still wearing a big fisherman's sweater. She's handing Scratch a plate of eggs. Eggs with some mushrooms in it. Scratch sees you and waves, walks on over with the plate, plops it down on the table in front of you.
You missed breakfast.
Oh, I don't like eggs. I'm good. Yeah, I'm fine.
You don't like eggs?
I don't like them. I don't like them. They're gross.
Okay. More for me, then.
More for you. I mean, I can eat some plain mushrooms. I like mushrooms.
Oh, I actually don't like mushrooms, so if you could pick the mushrooms out of it, you know, I'll pick them out. Here, I'll start scraping them on the side of the plate.
Yeah, I like that. I'm not that hungry anyway. I had coffee. No, I didn't have coffee. I should have some coffee. Woo, I'm kind of, like, a little dazed. Did you sleep good?
Well, I didn't sleep the night before, so this was about the first time I've slept in like something like 40 hours or something. So
you crashed out.
I crashed out. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
No dreams. Just.
Yeah.
I got 7 hours. That's not bad.
7 hours. Hey, yeah. 7 hours is something to celebrate. I like 7 hours.
You can see the kids they've got like sticks kind of chasing each other around with the sticks. They're like hooting and yelling, and they run around to the front of the house.
You know, it's just kind of crazy, like the little community they set up here or whatever. Like, you've lived around and I guess in and out of the warps, so maybe you're familiar with this, maybe you're not, but this is not the prototypical picture that people typically paint of a warp.
Yeah, I gotta say, there's something magical about this place. I like it. I think it seems really nice. And in some other life, I would love to settle down here. And maybe, who knows? I mean, maybe that's what we're gonna do. But, and by we, I mean, at least me. I don't know why I'm talking like you're gonna be with me forever, but listen, Scratch, I know that's so weird, but I feel very connected to you.
Yeah, we've...
And I hope that's not creepy. I know it sounds kind of strange.
I would say even if that were creepy, which it's not, it would be far less creepy than what we've actually experienced together, so...
So maybe that's it. Maybe that's it. Yeah, that's probably part of it.
I will say that I was thinking about how Otter yesterday, he kept saying, you know, we're going to be going into the warp or whatever. For me, that was like weird because like we're in a warp, but it's like, I get it. Warps are supposed to be these scary and lawless no man's lands, but I'm sitting in a warp right now with a friend. First new one I've been in years. Eating scrambled eggs and watching kids play. So I get why you wouldn't want to call something like this a warp, because it's a better and more honest life than I was living, you know.
Think fast! And a frisbee doinks off of Scratch's head.
Not just off my head, like right above my eye, which is already pretty sore from the shiner I got. It's not a big swollen black eye, but it's still like a little discoloration. So he's like, oh.
It doesn't just boink, it gets wedged in his eye.
No.
Bam. That thing is sticking out of his eye like the flag at Iwo Jima.
Ooh, I closed my eyelids around it. It's
no, please
it.
No. I don't like that.
Oh, retcon.
Retcon.
It bounced off his head and eye. It bounced off his eye. It didn't happen. Otter is standing at the back door of the crap yard, looking happy, looking groggy, looking tired, looking inspired. He's got an attitude, a gratitude, as he's taking a step out of the back.
Scratch is feeling playful now after this, and he's like, okay, all right, we're playing rough. He picks it up, and he does a throw back. I could just describe how I'm going to fail this, but should I roll for it?
Yeah, roll for it.
Let's make it a game.
We're playing game a fucking on. Game.
What if you do it really good?
Just a body throwing, or throwing? Throwing, right?
Yeah.
Let's see. What's my throw? Oh, 20.
All right. Here comes a crit.
Let's roll the ring.
Wait, Casey, that's your nipple ring. What are you doing?
Oh yeah. And that's a 47, so that's a failure.
That's a fail.
It doesn't matter. Otter's trying to catch it.
Well, it's not just that I fail throwing it to you. It's that I trip over a root while I'm trying to do it and fall flat on my face.
Almost like the root reached up and grabbed you, just to remind you that this is a scary show. Otter steps out. He makes an effort. You know, it's about hustle. At the end of the day, you can't blame the thrower for a bad throw. You still got to try to catch it. You still got to try to make the right play on the ball, aka the disc. And he runs as hard as he can, but you basically spiked that thing into the ground after you tripped. So Otter's effort is in vain, but he does fail, which means he levels up, I believe. Gannon, is that how the rules work?
Next time you'll bump that skill up.
I wrote it
down.
You guys, I am really pooped, I gotta be honest. I know we got a big day ahead of us, but I was up all last night hanging out with Freddy.
Who's Freddy?
And we cut back to Otter in his man cave with the Jimmy Buffett fish, who has been attached to a vintage medical dummy who's sitting on the couch next to Otter. And Otter is playing on his big, giant, heavy TV. He's playing these, like, VHSs that he got from, you know, wholesale, some sort of, like, storage unit that he purchased, which are from the Detroit Pistons in like 2007. It's like defensive footage that they have of other teams that they watch to get ready for games. And Otter's just sort of like explaining who everyone is to the Jimmy Buffett fish. He's like, you mind if I call you Freddy Fishman?
You know what? I kind of like that, the sound of that. I'm kind of tired of being Jimmy Buffett. So yeah, I'm Freddy Fishman. I'm happy to be Freddy Fishman.
Great. All right, Freddy. So anyway, that's Jamario Moon. You know, he's a role player for the Cleveland Cavaliers, and he's basically trying to give this Jimmy Buffett fish what Otter would consider a perfect day overnight. While he can't sleep because of this big day he's got ahead of himself, what he likes to do when he can't sleep is to just, like, see if he can get in the lab and start tinkering with someone to see if he can
improve their life or make them make them happier. And he heard all the trash that the Jimmy Buffett fish was talking yesterday. So he's trying to give this guy a new lease on life as Freddie Fishman, who's a, you know, just a guy who's hanging out on the couch. And he left him in the morning with the TV still playing stuff on autoplay so that this fish can, you know, sit here and watch interesting things and have a great day. Also, in the little, like, vintage medical doll, it's holding a beer bottle. So it's like he's hanging out.
He's hanging out.
But anyway, yeah, that guy's going to be just okay, I think.
Otter, I would be careful with that fish, man. I've been starting to think that he might be a trickster djinn who's trying to get us to destroy him so that he can escape his imprisonment.
Mm. Whoa.
And then, you know, at which point the time we spent not letting him out, he would then cast us into some sort of confinement for an equivalent amount of eons or something.
You're talking about Freddie Fishman? I don't think so. I didn't get that vibe from him. He seemed like he was having a good time this morning. I don't know about dying.
Apparently you've never met a djinn. Okay, neither have I, but...
Yeah, now you planted that idea in my head, and we will never smash his head.
We're not smashing his head because he's happy. He's down there. He's watching Hoop mixtapes. He's having a great day.
You're saying that he didn't ask you even once to bash his head in?
I mean, there might have... Yeah, he was begging. He was watching some old Charlotte Hornets footage, and he was saying, "This sucks, kill me, kill me." And I said, "Me too, brother. I feel the same way watching this team. They're not very good." But what are we talking about? Oh, did someone say they wanted some coffee?
Plonk comes down a cup of coffee.
Nope, it's not coffee. It's Water Joe.
Oh.
Water Joe?
Plonk comes down a cup of Water Joe.
It's caffeinated water that was able to pick up on a back order.
Whoa.
Whole crate of this stuff.
This stuff is kind of scary.
No, it's water. It doesn't taste like it's got caffeine in it.
I'm definitely going to have some.
Very highly concentrated.
You know, I was going to say no to coffee, but that sounds pretty interesting.
It just tastes like water. And then all of a sudden you're like, whoa.
It's really old too.
Yeah, this is sour and there's like, it tastes like there's sand on my tongue now.
Oh, that's
not. Is that
not...
supposed to be, is that part
no.
of the normal
No,
experience?
It tastes just like water, right? Sandy and sour. I exclusively drink this stuff, by the way. Gets me jacked up ready to take on whatever the world has got to offer us. And today, it's going to have some stuff to offer us because we are going into the deep warp.
Yeah.
We're going to go to that address. We're going to go in there and see if there's any hint of what might have befallen our sweet Bodhi Chambers and see if we can't pick up anything that's not nailed down, bring it back here, and flip. That's a side mission for me.
All right.
And of course, that address is 11 Otranto Way. And I got myself a little map here. I got from my map room. And it's got 11 Otranto Way on it. How do you like them apples?
I love them.
Pretty good.
All right, yeah.
So right now you guys are sitting around a picnic table, chatting with each other, drinking caffeinated water. You're looking out into the forest. There's like a little dirt path that leads out into the forest. So there's two things. One thing worth noting, you guys are going to have to walk. The roads are all kind of fucked up in this region.
Oh.
So.
No car.
Otter is going to be leading you.
And I'm explaining this too. Yeah, we got to walk. These roads are not particularly friendly to vehicles for multiple reasons. One of them is the wild men that live out there will try to put up little traps on the roads for vehicles. Oh. You stop to be like, oh, we got to move this log. Before you know it, a bunch of skinheads are taking pot shots at you, trying to, you know, capture you and make you work in the mines, whatnot.
Two, I want to know what you guys are packing. So what's in the packs? What are we bringing on out there?
Well, if we're hiking, I'm going to need my body glide because let me tell you, I'm going to be chafing. So I have opened my pack, which you notice is noticeably lighter today, and I pull out the body glide, which I have in my toiletries, and I am reaching into my joggers and rubbing that between my thighs.
Scratch, why is your bag so small? Didn't you have like a big, huge bag?
Yeah, yeah. Well, today I'm just bringing along, you know, like some kind of necessities and survival stuff, and then the... tome. You know, Otter, I was actually talking to Amy earlier because you guys apparently have like some kind of dial-up here, which is incredible because this computer actually only will hook up to dial up for some reason. I haven't been able to get it to connect to the internet any other way.
Oh,
so I was working on that this morning with Amy and
yeah, Amy's a real whiz. If anybody can help you, it's her. She's got that dial up connected to a satellite that's plugged into the wall, all that stuff. I'm a little more analog. I don't quite know, once we start talking about radio waves and whatnot, I kind of just let the experts handle that. Consult a guidebook or Amy or hell, just start mashing shit together. But yeah, she figured it out for you?
Well, she said she was going to take a look at it sometime today. So I'm leaving that behind.
By the way, did you tell Amy where we were going or anything? Does she know?
No, I...
Okay, cool. Yeah, we got to keep this on the DL. What are you bringing, Violet?
Oh, and Scratch, you're bringing the pearl-handled pistol, right?
The pearl-handled pistol, and also in those survival tools, I do also have my taser and a few of the fireworks that I grabbed off the boat.
Great.
Violet has a bag. It's got one of the jugs of water that they took from the boat.
Yeah.
She's got a leg holster on the side that houses her...
Big old piece.
Desert Eagle. Mm-hmm. Large gun. So big. And... honestly, so badass looking. But even more badass is the second weapon that's in the backpack, partially on this attachment thing, which is her crossbow. Crossbow and a couple of, steel bolt arrows that go in it. There's some snacks in the bag. There's hot tamales in the bag. The notebook is in the bag. There's
the movie,
lots of markers. Huh?
The movie The Notebook, one of Bodhi's DVDs left behind.
There's Bodhi's DVD of The Notebook right next to the red sketchbook notebook.
That DVD came from
Otter. Which is also near the black notebook, the little black book with the addresses in it. And there's also a little guy named Petruvius.
Hello, everybody. I'm the newest member of the team.
Oh, Petruvius, you weren't supposed to introduce yourself until a
bird
little later
flies down, picks up Petruvius.
Violet is weeping.
The bird is
screaming.
Throws off in the air, eats him like a Tyrannosaurus Rex. Yeah, there goes Petruvius. He's fucking dead.
Not my friend.
You have to write to his family now.
Wow, no. We're going to have to unpack that in episode 6.
Man. Did we see Petruvius die? Listeners, let us know. Is Petruvius alive or dead?
Petruvius.
Comment in the
sure
show
you
notes.
Did see him. Pretty sure you did see him die, but we can move on.
Well, he did have a... a fencing rapier. He might cut his way out of the bird's stomach. We'll see.
I think it's over. I think actually his neck was also broken. I don't know. You're going to have to rewind to check on Petruvius.
He might cut his way out of the podcast.
Wait, can I just say one more thing about Petruvius? He was shaped like a donut. He was shaped like
a
donut.
With a hole in the middle?
With a hole in the middle and a little face. And he is now dead.
And you couldn't see it because of his little cute pants that he was wearing, but he's got a heart-shaped pubic patch of purple hair.
Oh, God. And now he's fucking dead. He's our favorite guy.
Because the bird ripped it off.
Dead.
He's now bald as an eagle.
Tore his penis off. And
yeah, he had a penis.
And
let's not get into the penis. We're going to go for another 20 minutes if we bring up the penis. We're going to Otter.
Okay, we're going to Otter. Otter was looking at your what's in the bag videos that you guys were doing, and he was kind of smirking, seeing all the weapons and whatnot, all the crap, all the bullshit you guys were bringing into the deep wood. Otter, meanwhile, he's wearing sort of like a sleeveless hoodie. It's a hoodie that's had the sleeves cut off. And it's shown his kind of wiry arms, perhaps the only weapons he needs to bring to the deep wood. Psych! He also has on his back a big package that's somewhat scimitar-shaped. I won't say what's inside, but the package is scimitar-shaped and weighs about roughly as much as a heavy scimitar. And it's on his back, but I'm not saying what's inside.
It's a lacrosse stick.
He also has a He has a satchel with him that's got, flashlights, some heating hand warmers in case of emergency. He's got some fire starter. He's got a couple rain slicks, let's say 3. He's got a little baggie of food, affectionately termed otter slop. He's got fishing wire. He's got 3 vintage WW2 flashbangs. He's got a little bandolier of bells. There's a tennis ball. There's a little baggie of warp weed and a one-hitter. And there's a small thing of red paint. And, he's got a little guy in there whose name is Petruvius? How did you get in here?
He's back.
Another eagle comes down.
I fell into the pan. Oh, no.
So long, Petruvius. That is a
confirmed kill.
Call of Duty style, the eagle just got another kill. A few more, get a nuke.
That eagle is, like, gonna level up soon.
Get a nuke? You're gonna get a nuke to make sure Petruvius is gone for good?
Oh, it's just his kill streak.
I don't gotta make sure. All right.
That
eagle
is so cool of you, Ganon.
Very
tough. Dude, I got chills.
Sorry to bring it back to the actual show, but Otter has a map that has the location of 7 other Petruviuses for us to find.
Ah! You got me! I was so excited that we were pulling it back! Okay, he's got a map, though. He's taking that little nasty map out.
It doesn't have Petruvius.
Petruvius, I don't want to hear it again.
Okay, there's just normal stuff. As normal as a as a TTRPG set in this setting would have.
Yes, very normal.
There's an address, 11 Otranto Way, and we are marching. Oh, real quick, on my way out, I look at Jasper real quick. Jasper, the big quiet guy who you met the other day. And I say, Jasper, don't tell anybody, all right? My secret keeper. We are going into the deep wood to investigate what happened to Bodhi. And if anybody calls for me, if Dorinda comes looking, do not tell her I'm in the deep warp. Tell her I went to Bainbridge Island to go investigate a lead for some more Beanie Babies. Tell her whatever, but they can't know that we went out into the deep warp.
At the sound of you heading into the deep warp, there's a very concerned look on his face, but you know he's going to keep it a secret, and he nods.
I put my hand on his shoulder, and I say, Jasper, nothing bad is going to happen to us, all right? Got too much experience under my belt. And I,
He swallows, puts a hand on your shoulder, nods.
Squeeze him hard, and I go, wow, this guy is strong. Look at this guy. Don't you just want to get your hands on him and say, ah, look at this guy. He's strong. Hey, Scratch, why don't you wrestle Jasper real quick?
Jasper immediately puts me in a headlock.
Yeah.
Jasper, enough. He's tapped out. Violet, you want to have a go with Jasper?
Violet puts their hand on their gun casually and is like, I'm not interested. Thanks.
Jasper gives the okay symbol, nods to you, and steps back.
Watch after Amy, and I salute him.
You guys are now walking, beginning your journey. You're walking down the dirt path that leads away from the crap yard out into the woods. It's cold. There's a little crunch on the ground from frost and little bits of leaves and this and that. You're smelling forest. You get that sort of chemical smell in the background that you got when you first arrived in Black Fork. As you're walking out, you hear the sounds of birds and the persistent occasionally popping around in the background. You guys travel on, trudging into the forest. 6 feet under. Gentle fog now is kissing, dappling against your exposed skin, leaving light residue. Now you're walking down an asphalt road, and it clearly has not seen a vehicle in a long time. There's, like, trees and shit in the way, all sorts of junk, bird song. The trees are growing in increasingly twisted and bent directions, almost shaped like the wacky, waving, inflatable tube man frozen in tree form. Mm. Sort of like these different kind of like gestures of growth. You're walking along sidewalk. Looking occasionally, you can see in between the trees old buildings, old Victorian homes, old storefronts. It's like their drywall muscles have been loosened, these buildings. And it's like the roofs and their bodies are like sinking closer and closer to the earth, finding rest and peaceful connection there. Birds on sapphire wings sort of flutter overhead. You guys are walking out. Otter's guiding you now with the map.
I'm taking deep, big breaths out here. I mean, the air is pretty decent in Black Fork outside of the paper processing plant that sometimes wafts into your nostrils. And to be clear, that smell is still a little present here, but the air, the oxygen, as restorative as these woods are dangerous. So there's an interesting juxtaposition of the danger and safety that you might notice out here.
Otter, well, gotta say compliments to Galadriel, because those eggs got me feeling powerful. This is like, I'm loving this hike, man. I could have been doing this the whole time I was out here. I was just like staying in my camper the whole.
Yeah.
Oh fuck! I hope my camper's okay. Sorry, I'm putting it out of my mind. Yeah. Anyway,
I will give my compliments to Galadriel. You basically almost sounded like the goddamn Eggman there, with how much you like those eggs. But that's a story for another time.
You look at me with like a suspicion in your eye. Like,
I got to figure out where these eggmen are coming from. But yeah, I'm sure your camper. Well, I'm not sure of anything, to be honest. Hopefully it's okay.
Yeah, what I've resigned to checking it out when we're done with this. It is what it is.
Yes, we're going to check it out when we're done with this.
But this is beautiful.
You know, being out here in this peaceful place has me thinking, are they going to come looking for me? Like, I never reported back or anything. I don't really know what happens when you just go MIA with a VIP package.
Well, I feel like maybe they assume that you did deliver it and it blew up. That's what I hope.
I don't know if that's a common assumption, but
well,
maybe.
This is not a common event, to be fair.
That's true. Maybe they think I blew up.
Yeah.
That's best case scenario.
Well, do they got tracking devices on the package or in your car or on that boat?
Well, Bodhi did throw out one of their guns, which had a tracking device, but I don't know about that package.
I don't think so, but
we could take a look, make sure that all your shit is free of bugs once we get back.
Yeah.
I will say, you know, Wi-Fi, internet signal, phone signal is not great out here. So unless they got next level tracking devices, I'm sure they're probably operating under the same fog of war that we do. Oh, look, there's a little frog.
No.
The frog hops on and Otter's now guiding you down a new road. This road, it's a more uneven path. The sidewalk is, like, wrecked here. Trees are growing larger, more knotted, more twisted, and growing closer together. The fog is getting a lot thicker. It's actually hard to see the buildings between the trees now because of how thick the fog is. When you do see a building, they're, like, even in worse shape. They're just, like, obliterated, nothing more than, like, maybe the Victorian frame or a foundation, burnt, smashed apart, whatever.
Whenever we pass a building that is as ruined as that, Scratch does take an extra second to stop and kind of look at it, because this is truly stuff he's only seen through screens and images, and so walking out here amongst this kind of destruction is new for him and is affecting him.
You're stepping over ferns and various types of fungi. The sidewalk now you're mostly stepping on like dirt, earth. It's very damp. The sidewalk is just like there was an earthquake and everything just sank into the ground or was knocked away. The path is like fully muddy now. You're squishing through it and it's twisting. This path that you're walking down is twisting in and out of dense forest. You make your way into a clearing with a dense canopy overhead of tree branches. Right in front of you, there's a clawfoot bathtub filled to the brim with green water and algae.
Don't touch that. Do not touch that.
Scratch was about to touch it.
You see from underneath the tub, a little rabbit pops out.
Oh!
Nope.
Wiggles its nose at you.
Are you friends with the frog?
And then it bounds away. Doing, 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 doing. Doesn't get too far, though.
We're at the point where I have to just advise the gang, do not touch anything. Do not touch anything.
Right on cue, a bubbling and viscous strand drops from the tree. It's carbonated-looking seafoam limb just encases the rabbit. The rabbit starts screaming, and smoke starts rising from the rabbit. Can I get veil rolls from everyone, please?
Oh, my God.
Yep, it's just like this big blobby thing just reaches down from the tree, lands on top of the rabbit. Rabbit starts screaming. You guys don't know what you just saw.
I failed.
I failed.
Great. And?
And Otter succeeded. For him, this is pretty normal. He's seen this kind of shit before, which is why he knew don't touch anything. Even that rabbit could have been who knows what the hell. He also instinctively went into his satchel and he pulled out a tiny little bell, which he's just been kind of now holding, ready to ring.
He's holding the bell. Those of you who failed the veil roll, can you please roll 1d4 and add a 1 to that sum?
2.
Also 2, yeah.
Great. All right, so you guys both lose. You lose 2 veil. Whoa, that's really freaky what you're just looking at. So the bubbling, foamy strands are rising back up into the tree, carrying this dissolving rabbit, who has stopped screaming now.
Oh, God, what the fuck?
Are those like just like anywhere? Are they? And Scratch is looking up and all around, and he's pulled the pearl-handled pistol, as useless as it would be, and is just kind of like scanning the canopy.
Do you have an umbrella? Do you have a? You got one of those rain slickers? Should we put that on?
No, that's not going to help you. I think you just kind of have to look up in the canopy and see if there's any big blobs.
Fuck.
Meant to mention that one. There's other stuff too, but. Uh-oh.
You hear a voice.
Now, Gannon...
Someone's running towards you.
Who's messing around me, Gordon?
Hey there! It's Otter!
Violet also.
Otter, you would know there are a lot of hermits who live around here, and they're very much shoot first, ask questions later type guys.
That's all right.
The general understanding. You can treat them in whatever way you choose. But you see running through the woods, you see an old guy in an XXL. He's very gaunt, but he's wearing an XXL Jesus Saves t-shirt, wearing a little newsy cap. Old ass dude, and he's got a shotgun in his hands, and he's sort of like hobbling through the fog with his gun.
All
right, guys, let's just get out of here. Let's just go back.
Oh, what the fuck? Okay.
Retreat. Tactical retreat. Tactical retreat.
We got it. We're fine. Sorry, just got a little lost.
We're leaving.
You got a beautiful slime.
The crew's raising hands and running deeper into the forest. He hobbles off after you for a little bit, but you guys are getting far enough along that you're okay.
Jesus Christ, man.
Okay, no more slime. No more slime.
Yeah, this is why I try not to go this way. I live in a Toronto way, you know.
Yeah.
Not an address I would like to go to too often. But
I am seeing why, and Violet is looking up and around suspiciously.
Every now and then you see something bubbling in the trees, but it's out of your way. It's never right above you. But every now and then it's just like something's going on up there.
I miss Petruvius.
There's a Miss Petruvius?
Oh boy.
Ooh, la, la.
Oh brother. All right. Okay.
Hello, listeners. You might be wondering why you're picturing all of us smiling and nodding warmly at you right now.
Yes. What's that twinkle in our eye that you're imagining right now?
Well, it's because we just finished listening to our voicemails.
And we're listener, you were also envisioning us as a pile of little puppy dogs howling at the moon.
I'm a coyote that got mixed in with the puppies for some reason. Everyone's like, that's an ugly dog, but I'm a coyote. But
that's
no one
dangerous.
Knows. Yeah, this is my backstory.
It's dangerous.
Nobody's
for us.
Judging you. Nobody's judging your ugliness, coyote.
Yes, we've just finished listening to our voicemails. It was so nice to listen to them. It's just delightful to hear the enthusiasm in your voices and the nice messages and questions and whatever it is that you call, whether you're calling about fancy sodas on a truck. Yeah, we love it. It was very nice. And if you'd like to call and leave us a voicemail, you can do that at 773-666-A-GUN. That is 773-666-2486. A gun.
It really put me in a good mood because right before this interlude, I just watched my beloved Washington Commanders' magical postseason run come to an end. But one thing that has not come to an end yet is our 6-episode Guttercore prequel series, which one more episode coming.
Ooh.
Will it have just come out?
No, I don't know. It's coming. It's coming soon.
In February? Whatever.
It's coming in February.
It will be in 2 weeks or so.
I better start editing it then. Just kidding. I've started editing it.
Cut this out. Leave it in.
Put it somewhere else.
And let it go. And enjoy and smile. Look, what are you doing? If you haven't listened to the Patreon, I'm sitting you down at the dinner table right now. There's only one light on. So it's I don't know, it's like late at night. You know, you're in trouble with your parents style. And I'm coming out and turning the chair around and I'm like, what are we doing, buddy? You haven't listened to the Patreon yet? What's going on here? You got to start listening to the Patreon. Mm-hmm. The editing is so good. The story's so wonderful. And the smiles you'll receive, second to none.
What's that smell? Are you stoned right now? Were you hanging out with Jeremy again? That kid's no good.
Jeremy is not the right kind of friend, and he doesn't listen to the right podcasts. And you do, but you'd be doing a lot better job if you were a part of the Gutter Patreon.
So much better. And you would even on top of the incredible Gutter Core prequel episodes, you would also be getting a Gutter Talk, including one after this very episode, a Gutter Talk for every main feed episode.
We're keeping it real on the Patreon in the Gutter Talks. It gets charged.
We get there, you know?
Hey, guys, it's Jeremy. Just wanted to say thank you for... Oh, you're kicking me out.
Who let you in? And why are you naked, Jeremy?
I had a key. They gave me a key.
Jeremy?
Uh-huh?
You better support our Patreon if you want to keep getting high with our children or whatever. What are we doing?
I love the Patreon.
You are an adult. A naked adult.
Naked?
Oh, he's what's happening?
Oh, Jeremy's
happening
fully
now?
Naked.
It's dark, but I could see because I have coyote vision.
Jeremy is turning into a werewolf. Oh, that's why I'm naked, because I lost my clothes because of the moon.
Okay, no. It makes sense. And all the reasons we didn't like Jeremy can be attributed to sort of werewolf things that we didn't know, because we didn't know Jeremy was a werewolf.
But I am also a bad influence, let's be honest. Gotta go.
Bye, Jeremy.
Bye.
He's actually a good kid.
Yeah, he's a good kid.
I was wrong about Jeremy.
And you know what? Fuck it. Don't join the Gutter Patreon.
Yeah.
Who cares
all that content?
I'm Jeremy and I'm back and I'm saying you better join that Gutter Patreon.
We're not your parents.
We're not your parents. No. And we do have this mysterious tape cassette that I just plucked out of one of Jeremy's
orifices?
Yeah.
I mean, where else?
He's an adult.
Where else?
I was going to say.
You can take VHS. Sorry.
It came out of his mouth.
I was going to say I plucked it out of his skin pouch. Which
he's
is
a marsupial
werewolf from down under. I plucked it out from down under. I don't know what this voice is, but I'm gonna.
It's not Australian, that's for sure.
It's just Australian, and I'm putting it in the tape recorder now. Who knows what it is?
Great,
knocked it out of the goddamn park.
Was there anything else we can think of that? Oh no, we should have said this thing.
My OnlyFans.
Oh, damn it.
Jamie's OnlyFans.
Damn it.
He's bouncing on it 6 ways to Sunday.
Bouncing that shit.
People are always talking about bouncing on it these days. When are they going to be rolling on it or
smiling on it?
Nodding respectfully on it. People need to get on it. And on it is the Patreon. Go listen to the Patreon.
Hey campers, have you heard of season 5 of 5 GMs in a Trenchcoat from Inside the Tent? You haven't? Well, let us tell you about it.
A nice, green, natural regional park. This is Hidden Falls Regional Park. For our purposes, in our world, it's a bit larger than it actually is. It is the summer of 1983, and it is all of your first time getting to stay at Hidden Falls.
We promise it's going to be a great time. It's going to be a story of 3 childhood friends going across the Americas in 1987 using Kids on Bikes 2nd edition. So grab a blanket, make some coffee. The first 3 episodes are available now, wherever you get your podcasts.
fog has gotten, it's like thick as soup. You can see up to the bulbous trees that are manically spindling and nodding all about, even higher now, even closer together, standing exultant in their strangeness, these nasty trees. The air is biting cold, but it carries like the fragrance of deep, muddy, wet earth and mushroom-spotted, rotting trees. The ground below you now is very, very muddy, and every step you take, there's a little pool of water beneath.
Otter hands out three headlamps with little elastic bands, and he says, might be time to use these, and he puts one over his backwards hat that he has on right now, so it's like sticking out of his forehead, just to cut through the fog a little bit.
Violet fixes their hair into one top knot bun on top of their head, and then uses the headlamp as like the scrunchie to hold it together, so it's there's just a light coming from the bun.
Scratch puts it on in a pretty uninteresting way.
Perfect.
Should have gone second. Fuck.
No, that's best third.
You can hear to your right, there's a light stream running through a stony ditch that's like kind of overgrown. It's like a 7-foot drop down there. And this little canyon to your right kind of weaves in and out. To your left, it's a bunch of these trees. You can't even see buildings through anymore. It feels almost like a wilderness, but every now and then you see like a broken piece of sidewalk in front of you on this muddy earth.
Can I do a quick navigate and try and orient myself using the map that I brought from my map room?
Yes.
All right. Hold on. Let me just make sense of this real quick, gang.
Okay.
Yo.
Whoa. He got a 3.
I got a 3 and my navigate is 60. So that is the best type of hit.
That's a golden hit right there.
That is a golden hit.
Play the cue.
Golden
woo,
hit.
Woo. Cha-ching.
Golden hit.
You are looking at your map, and I'm imagining it's like one of those maps you get in the 90s or aughts. Like, I don't know, maybe it's more, but I was thinking it's like an older sort of map, but like there have been like a bunch of like updates and scribblings and notes here and there. Maybe people other than you have made notes on this map.
What if it was Bodhi's map?
Ooh. Yeah, Bodhi. Of course, he would go in and out of the deep warp.
Yes. Oh. Yeah.
Lower right-hand corner, property of Bodhi.
Bodhi's map is guiding us. Oh, yeah, look, we're by the stream.
Yeah. Yeah, you're by the stream, and it looks like you're not too far away, but this whole section is sort of, like, highlighted in a way, and it says, danger in capital letters. What would he say about this? What would he say? Or he has a, maybe he didn't write out literally danger, because that's, come on. It's a map. You gotta, there's like a little notation of watch out.
Like a skull.
And it's like a symbol for dangerous people are here.
All right. So I think Bodhi's trying to tell us that there are some dangerous people here and I ain't talking about us. So might be time to whip this bad boy out. And Otter grabs off his back this wrapped item, and he proceeds to undo the bindings on it.
Oh my god, I thought you were going to say your penis. I don't know why you said whip this bad boy out. I'm sorry.
So whip this bad boy out and
get your head out
pee
of
my acid
get
all
your
over
head
everything.
Out of the gutter. And he looks into the camera and
winks.
He says, where's Petruvius? If you are seeing this message, tell me where you saw Petruvius last. Bring Petruvius back to us.
Get us Petruvius.
And I pull out from this package, not a penis, but a ruby red scimitar that has an ornate handle and seems almost like it's either a movie prop or genuinely belongs in a tomb of an ancient king. But this sword, it's sharp and it's handsome and it's curved. Ooh, I think I like this.
I'm starting to like the sword.
I think I'm starting to like this sword.
I think Otter's starting to like this sword.
There's a sort of thrum in the distance you start to hear. Along with the navigation, let's say you're from the navigation, you're looking around a little bit more carefully.
All right,
you can hear like a thrum. It's like stomping or thudding or something.
Guys, get low.
That was the sound of me crouching.
They get low.
Can we just maybe try to stealth and then see if the thrumming passes?
Yeah, do you guys want to, like, try and hide or something like that?
Well, if we're in the fog.
Yeah, I can hide. I'm good at stealth.
Let's hide. Are we committing to hiding out of character?
Yeah.
You're going to try?
I'll try. Oh, shit, though. I got a zero, though. My first digit is a zero, so I might pass this. My second zero, that would be bad. My second digit is a two. I got a... Is that a golden hit on a roll that I only have 20?
That's got to be golden hit, right?
Yeah, it is a gold. It's a play the cue.
Golden hit.
Golden hit.
Golden hit.
I don't know if I'm going to regret making a cue for
two golden hits in one episode.
Yeah, I hope this is not as common. I'm going to be playing this fucking cue. It won't be. This is very.
Violet, what did you get?
Oh, I got a pass.
I failed. I got a 70 something.
Okay. Uh-oh.
Okay.
Well, two of us passed.
I thought my ass was going to get us caught.
That doesn't necessarily mean like a flat out, you know, boner time or whatever. It is. I don't know why I had to use the term boner. Like, we all know the second. Anyway, let's not worry about me saying boner time.
I was worried.
Anyway, it's not necessarily 100% you're bone dead. Just maybe you're not hiding very good at all. You guys are. You guys want to hide it like among the trees in the fog with a view of the road?
Yeah. Sneaking through the trees, crouched, maybe behind some of the plants and bushes, and trying to keep our eyes out to see where these sounds are coming from.
Yeah, Otter staying low with his sword ready.
Weapons are ready. Headlights are off.
Headlights off, weapons ready.
Okay, two handguns and a sword. Okay.
No. I got a crossbow. I'm going to use the crossbow. Because I'm trying to sneak and be quiet.
Okay. Sparkling fog is on your skin. You're sort of crouched down, mud on your knees and hands. Little mushrooms by your fingers. And you can hear it more clearly now. It's very clear what it is. It's horses.
They're not good. It's not good.
I want them to be good horses, though.
Can we try and slink into a less horse-friendly terrain, perhaps?
Let's say you're off the road and you're just sort of trying to, like, move up the woods in a secret and quiet sort of way.
Mm-hmm. Sure, yeah, towards the goal.
You still have a view of the road. I think you have to be kind of close to the road in order to keep in this direction. So let's say you're just sort of, like, snaking your way up. Horses are coming closer. And as they come closer, you guys are now still, quiet, hiding behind the trees. You see them now in the distance. Two bright white horses clopping down the road. Around the mouths of these horses, it's like a great red, rusty brown smear around their mouths, running down their necks and their chests, sort of like after a lion has like feasted on a gazelle. It's this like, just like this red, sort of like knotted. Looks like blood. I mean, come on.
I mean, it could be jam.
It could be jam, but like, where does the brain go? You guys would be like, that looks like blood. It looks like blood.
Oh my God.
Riding on the back of these horses, you're seeing masked men. One has a balaclava on, one has like a little shiesty on. The one in the balaclava is sort of like riding the horse. The one with the shiesty has like a huge, like medieval halberd strapped to his back. And these guys are like riding down. And as they get, let's say, half a city block away from you, the horses stop. And they're sniffing the air. You can hear them making sort of like a slurping noise from their mouth.
Oh my God.
Son of a bitch. This better be worth it, Bodhi.
Scratch has put his gun back in his pocket and is like crawling on his elbows and knees, which is why he is so stealthy right now.
Mm.
Just to justify that golden hit.
Oh, okay. I got an idea. Mm-hmm. Otter sees them smelling and he reaches into his pack and grabs his, frankly, stinking baggie of otter slop. And with a practiced stealth, but also an adroitness, he takes it and cocks and throws the otter slop as far as he can to try and cut it through the trees to get on the other side of the road, trying to team rocket this thing out of here.
Love them.
Cocks and boners.
That'll be a throwing roll, right?
Yes, that will be a throwing roll. God, this is how I find out that I don't have good throwing. I'm not Bodhi anymore. No, Bodhi's throwing was the maximum allowed.
Arming what it used to be.
What's his throwing?
Let's find out after I make my roll.
Okay.
And see if I need to lie or not.
Oh. That's...
Don't say it. You can say classic Mike.
That's classic Eleni saying classic Mike.
All right, guys. Well.
Oh, there's no way.
Yeah, no, it's not good. It's not a success or a good success. It's just a failure.
Okay.
Oh.
Okay. So, man, I really like the direction this was going. Unfortunately, two failure rolls. I think it's going to come around to you. So, you fling out the bag of slop. Unfortunately.
Can we say that it hits a trunk that's like almost directly next to us and just explodes?
Yeah. Yes. And gets yes. all over us.
It just like the otter slop just flies it out about 6 feet from you.
They're soggy homemade fig Newtons somehow.
Smashes into the tree. Homemade fig Newtons.
Mostly more wasp than fig, frankly.
just flying out big juicy chunks, hunks of this and that. Just a big, nasty, smelly mess. And with that, these horses look up in your direction, and they're both looking right at you there, Otter.
Oh, no.
We're going to start combat.
Of course. I wanted to get away from these frickin' frickers.
So, fun thing in Call of Cthulhu / Delta Green, if you have a gun out and at the ready, you go to go first.
Oh,
and I just, why did I say that I put my fucking gun away?
But only if you're firing the weapon, however. The idea being that if you all you have to do is pull a trigger, it really doesn't matter if like you're at the end of the order, because all you have to do is go bang, so.
Should I do it? Should I shoot?
Otter says, yeah, fucking let that thing fly.
Woo!
Oh, that's great.
I got a hot hit.
Yeah.
Not a golden. Hot, though.
Who are you shooting at?
Oh, I'm going to shoot a horse.
The guy with the red balaclava or the guy with the black mask and the halberd?
I think I'm going to do the halberd one, just because that I don't want that weapon on horse coming towards us.
It's got a lot of range.
Yeah.
Okay.
I think it's problematic how quickly Eleni was ready to kill a horse at first opportunity in our podcast.
All right, I'll shoot the guy.
No, no, I'm just kidding.
If these horses had remained pure and only ate oats and carrots and apples, then Eleni would have spared them. But Violet must clear these heinous, blood-sucking, meat-eating horses from the earth.
Correct. First of all, a horse is big and fucking powerful. It can kill you in one kick. This thing is clearly eating. It's a carnivorous horse, so I had to kill it.
This is a surprise hit. It's going straight to damage. Roll damage with your crossbow.
I got an 8, which is the maximum you can get on this thing, and then you add 2, so it's 10 damage.
10 damage. Okay, great. So it strikes the horse in its breast, right by the big blood splatter on it. This horse reels back, whinnying wildly, and the guy with the shiesty on the back falls off the horse. And he lands safely.
Damn.
For now.
But this horse is acting crazy. It looks like he can't tell if it might bolt or something. That was a lot of damage.
It might bolt because it's got a bolt in its chest.
Otter, you get to go next. So one of the horses just reeled back, took a bolt. One guy's on the ground. Clearly the dude with the red balaclava, he's unsheathing a large, looks like a full-on blade like you have. Not a scimitar. Let's just say it's a long sword. He unsheathes a long sword. This dude in sweats, and he's holding it up like Excalibur right now, staring you down. Otter!
How far away is this jabroni?
I think they've wandered close enough that you could run up to them now. I think I said half a city block when they were started, but then you threw the bag, they came a little closer, boom, 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 so you can run up on them.
Flashback to Otter and Freddy Fishman in the basement. Otter's doing dynamic stretches before going upstairs to go start his day. He's doing his hip flexor stuff. He's getting his hips agile and mobile, ready for sword combat if needed, if necessary. And look at that, it is necessary. Otter, like a Turkish janissary on foot, stumbles out of the woods, ready to abduct a Christian child and raise them as a Turkish soldier in the Turkish army, just like he was.
What?
We don't have time for backstory.
Child in a balaclava, dead ahead, on the back of a horse, looking Christian as hell.
Oh, you're
in this metaphor.
You're going to serve the Turkish Empire quite well. And Otter gets out of the brush, and he is looking all 5'10", pissed. Oh, God. Let's scrap. And with his red sword in hand, his other sword up, he's suddenly back in a narrow, claustrophobic squash court where Otter reigns supreme. 5-year world champion of squash in North America in 1994 to 1999. Otter's out there. He's mobile. I'm gonna initiate combat.
What are you doing? You striking the horse? Are you striking the guy on the horse? The
Otter has some hang-ups about just attacking an animal in cold blood like this. So I am going to go for this guy's legs. And if I miss, I hit the horse and it's still, you know, went.
Okay.
Oh my God. Can't fucking catch a break. Fuck. I just miss.
Okay. All right. So you rush up to this horse, swinging your blade, but it goes wide. Roll a 1d4 real quick.
One.
Okay. What a monster. You just sort of, like, you give the horse a good nick. Look, one damage. No one wants to take one damage. That makes for a one damage equals one bad day. Anyway, you nick this horse really good. Ah, the horse is looking mad. It's right up against your face. You can smell it. It smells like blood and earth and manure. And this man is now looking down at you with his sword. And now it is time for me.
No.
The guys.
Oh,
wait. My bad. I jumped. Now is time for Scratch. Scratch.
Hey. Oh, thank God.
Go Scratch.
Ball up top. Ball up top.
Kill someone.
Scratch, like I said, he had gotten down on his elbows, and he had actually moved his backpack around to his tummy to, like, keep his profile lower. And so in the moment of startle as this combat initiates, he's now, like, laying, like, on his butt with his backpack right there. And he can either go for the gun that he's put in his pocket, which he can't aim for shit, and is really just a comfort thing and a last-minute self-defense. Or he can do something that he has a great deal of familiarity with and he thinks might be helpful in this moment. He unzips the backpack. He reaches in and he grabs whatever firework he can get his hand on. Ganon, I was thinking something that might be fun. Since I'm just reaching in this bag and I don't know, I'm going to spin. And if I get an even number, it will be something that explodes and shoots sparks and stuff everywhere. And if it's an odd number, it's something that whistles and screams and produces smoke.
Great.
Odd.
Whistle, screams, and smoke.
Yeah, so he grabs the lighter he had in his survival gear there, and he lights the wick, and he throws it over by the horses, you know, which is not that far from us at this point, but, you know, there's still a little bit of distance between Scratch and them. And he throws it, and this thing starts screaming very high-pitched, annoying sound that will hopefully disorient the horses, and a bunch of smoke far thicker than the fog, a bunch of noxious looking purple smoke starts filling that area, and Scratch starts scattering away from there.
Yeah, it's hissing, it's spitting smoke, it's making huge crazy noises. Both of the horses are freaking out now, and this one has knocked the other guy. The man in the red balaclava loses his grip and he falls off the horse. How well does he fall off the horse? He also falls off actually really well. He actually lands in a cool... He got a really good hit. He lands in a cool way with the sword out in a cool way. Boom.
God, these guys are so good at life.
But these horses now are running away in the direction of the slime farm. And it's just these two dudes. And now it's the dude's turn. Dude in the red balaclava is looking dead on at Otter. And he's going to swing his blade and make it sing. And it's a... It's a golden hit.
Oh no! Cha-ching!
Is there anything I can do reactively to make this guy's day a little harder?
You can dodge, you can fight back, but you had to have to get as...
Really good.
Yeah.
If I dodge and I fail, is that worse than just taking it?
No.
Then I'm gonna dodge. What am I doing here? I'm gonna dodge. We're getting the hell out of Dodge. We're getting the hell into Dodge.
Freaking Dodge.
Oh,
nope.
Shit.
I've been rolling in the 70s all goddamn day.
Yeah, dude. Mike, we gotta get you one of these rings, brother. You're cursed by our slack.
Oh, God. I need one of the rings so I can cheat off camera. God damn it.
Well, you'll get a lot of level up stuff when it happens.
When my guy dies.
Yeah.
Give me a sec, because this is hitting a new rule that I need to make sure I'm doing right.
The party kill rule.
Okay, I got very bad news for you there, Otter. This guy is a killer. He is a nasty-ass dude. He just got a critical hit, and this is going to introduce something called impaling rules.
Oh my God.
With a sword.
The fuck?
This guy lunges... He automatically maxes out the maximum amount of damage he can do, which is 10 damage. So
that
means you have 1 HP left.
Brutal.
It is a brutal, brutal hit.
And my new character is Petruvius.
Otter, lights ain't out yet. We're keeping the energy up and we're going to... Well, this is great drama for the guys.
Yes,
but
yes.
Let me describe this cinematically. Dude in the red balaclava, horses are running away now. He looks at you... fiercely rushes, you attempt to dodge out of the way, it fails, and he jams the sword into your chest and then yanks it out.
Fuck!
Can the friends observing please both make veil rolls?
Oh my God.
Because you're seeing a friend being horrifically wounded.
They don't know me that well, Ganon. Don't make them do it. They just met me.
I passed.
That's a pass.
Okay. No big deal.
I'm a little offended.
No. You guys have the warrior spirit. You're thinking about all the coaching tips he gave you, and you are fired up and locked in. Okay.
It's hard to see also in that smoke, too. We couldn't see the gore quite so clearly as the smoke grenade fills there yet.
Oh, that's right. The smoke. Yeah, the smoke is mingling with the fog. The pops, the screams. The dude in the shiesty... with his halberd, he's sort of running towards the tree line where he saw the shot coming from towards Violet. He sees Violet, he's running up to Violet, and he's swinging his halberd at Violet.
Dodge. I'm dodging.
All right.
I'm going to spend some luck so that I succeed this.
Dude brings the halberd down. Wham! Slap! Splashing up mud. Little Froggy jumps out of the way too. Frog passed its dodge roll. You roll out of the way. You got your crossbow. Horses are out of sight. It's just these two guys in the smoke, in the screaming, and the popping. Your friend taking a bloodied and horrible cut. And now it is Violet's turn, having just successfully dodged out of the way this halberd. Violet!
All right. As Violet was dodging out of the way, they were reaching for their desert eagle in the leg holster. And they did a cool somersault. Then pulled it out and is aiming it at the guy who was just running. And pew, I'm going to take a shot. Ooh, I got a hot hit.
Whoa.
Nice.
He fails his dodge roll, so it's going to be a hit. So roll for damage.
5 plus 3, so 8.
So boom, you blast this guy in the chest with your monster piece. Ooh, it hits him hard and he falls back. Bam, slams on the ground, dropping his halberd. Gasping for air. Humble, sweet, humble, and brave Otter, you have taken a grievous blow.
Otter is downed. Let's say he's downed. He got impaled.
Yeah.
And he's gotten unimpaled, right? The guy pulled it out?
Yeah, it's unimpaled.
I think that's bad. I think that's real bad. I can't die here, Otter's thinking to himself. Things have gone into bullet time for Otter. He's entered his flow state that he would enter when he was on the squash court, in the short track speed skating rink, in the coach's seat of any of the intramural sports that he coaches. He's in this zone where he feels the weight of his history, and he knows that he is the head of a snake that depends on him. The snake of Black Fork, of good Black Fork, of the kids... the old folk, the down and outs, the people that look to the scrapyard as a shelter and a bastion in the uncertainty and the danger that lurks
on this peninsula of the warp. He looks at his friends, his new friends, Scratch, Violet, both with so much potential that couldn't be unlocked by Otter if only he had more time. He can't go out like this. And this guy who stabbed him doesn't know that he has poked a bear with a sharp stick. Sure, but he poked a bear. And Otter is evolving from Otter to bear in the
gay Pokemon.
Gay guy.
In the gay guy way.
Classifications. And I am going to not stop playing this game, Ganon, that we love so much. Otter is going to try and, holding his wound shut, re-firm his grasp on his scimitar and take a blood-seeking swing at this rando who means bad news for us. Ah! And I roll.
Come on. Oh my god.
Oh my god. That's
I fucking hate
really bad.
This shit. It was bad.
That's bad.
And you know what? That's fine. Add it to the list of failed rolls, because that's experience that we're gonna get to use.
Only gonna just gonna keep learning, keep getting better.
Alright, well yeah. He fucked up. Sometimes the Hail Mary doesn't work. And that's fine, because there's still stuff to learn as long as you're still in the game, and I still am. I got 1 HP.
With ferocity, Otter is giving it all that he's got, but this figure in the balaclava and the long sword dances out of his way. They're sort of scrambling around in the mud right now as smoke pops and whizzes by them. Scratch! Kelly, what do we got? What do we got going on? We've got, you can see up ahead the shiesty guy. He's downed on the ground. Horse is nowhere to be seen. Your buddy is in a precarious battle right now with a man in a red balaclava. A lot of cool smoke action going on, by the way. Just let that add to the drama.
I feel like, apart from adding to the drama, the smoke will have filled up enough that it should be hard to see somebody.
Mm-hmm. So Scratch is looking at all this. He's seeing the downed guy sort of gasping for breath, lying on his back, the downed dude with the shiesty and the big old halberd on the ground now. He's looking over, and in the smoke he's seeing this like back and forth fight in the mud. The sword fight. It's a full-on fucking sword fight. The camera's cutting over to the dude in the red balaclava as the smoke is rising around him, and he is approaching Otter right now, looking triumphant, and he holds up his sword high for the killing blow.
And just in that moment, you hear a pop, and then the guy starts seizing and maybe even drops his weapon from behind him with his arms over above his head. And Otter, maybe you wonder what's going on for a second, and then the guy kind of turns and you see two prongs and wires in his back, and they seem to trail off into the smoke where you can't see, and Scratch, who still was in stealth with that golden hit earlier and him scrambling after throwing that firework, has hit the guy in the back with the taser and made him drop his weapon.
Otter gives a bloody smile as he recognizes what's going on.
So next up is the bad guy's turn. This is how he's spending his turn. He rips the tendrils out of his back and he picks his sword back up. But that's the end of his turn.
Mm-hmm.
It took all that for him. Violet! What do we got going on? Dude gasping for breath dead ahead of you.
He doesn't get a turn?
I'll see if he gets up. He failed. He passes out. You see him gasp and he passes out.
Great. Violet puts their boot on his neck and then aims at the dude who was just tased, who ripped it out, and shoots.
And I don't think he sees you, so if that's a hit, it's going to go right in.
Yeah, it's a hit.
Ooh, yes.
All right, roll for damage.
Hold on, I have to add a bunch of numbers now.
Oh, wow.
So it's 9 plus 3 plus 3.
Okay, game over. So he rips those tendrils out of his back. Smoke is rising. He turns around his red balaclava. He's looking at Otter with bulging red eyes, and then head turns to jelly. Eyeballs pop out. The balaclava goes flying. There is a headless man in front of you, holding his sword. He topples to the left, he topples to the right, and he falls down in the mud, Otter, as the smoke from the fireworks is rising, rising, rising.
Otter rolls over on his back, still holding his gaping wound, as he just sort of takes it all in, and time slows down again. Time's been going so slow for him. And he's wondering, is that death? Is this a death thing? Is this a kind of going away? And he waits to die.
Whew.
Sound is slowing. He's not doing well. He's got one HP. He was freaking impaled. We learned new rules because of what happened to Otter. So he's just sort of thinking about his mom and dad. And he's remembering Black Fork before it was Black Fork, before he left, before he returned. He's remembering how he never got a chance to say goodbye to his mom and dad all those years ago. But he sees them. They're kind of just like smiling at him. And he smiles back. But he doesn't die.
Then he hears one more gunshot. That's in the other dude's head.
Yeah, this muffled like thump through your kind of distance. And then almost materializing right in front of you because of how limited the visibility was due to the smoke around you. Scratch, and I would say maybe shortly behind, Violet come over to you right away and are like putting hands on your chest.
Yeah.
And like, you're okay.
It's okay.
You're okay.
You're gonna be fine.
I'm so sorry.
Otter.
I'm so sorry.
Okay.
There's
nothing
to
be sorry for.
Out here. I can't die here.
You're not gonna die.
They depend on me.
So we see Violet and Scratch. They're bent over Otter's bloodied body, and a light rain begins to fall. Just beyond them, through the trees, we see a dirt path, a winding dirt path. And now, we, the camera, pulling forward now toward that path, and we're following this dirt path. It's slinking past sinking homes, their drywalled muscles loosened, finding connection with the fragrant and wet earth. It's like break in the trees. The dirt path climbs up a hill. We climb up this hill. At the top of the hill, we see a horrible sight. A perverse mausoleum, the shape of a notched pyramid. Two weeping, ogreish angels stand beside an open stone door. The forest on either side of us stretches out infinitely, and the address is carved in stone above the door. 11 Otranto Way. Blackout.
Otter dies, and my new character is the beautiful girl listening to this podcast right now.
Roll for initiative.
Just kidding.
Just kidding, guys. Otter died, and his new character is Bodhi. We're bringing him back.
Bodhi. 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 Bodhi.
Hey guys, thank you so much for listening to this episode of Gutter. One of our heroes, David Lynch, passed away. He was a fearless creator who was not afraid to be unapologetically himself and make art that is very cool and thought-provoking and different. And that's the kind of vibe that we all can aspire to. So We just want to say rest in peace to David Lynch. Shout out to The Goat,
I saw a great clip of David Lynch being like directing a child and being like, can you scream and cry? Oh, that's so beautiful. Beautiful. Okay, scream just like that. Oh, beautiful screaming. And it was so wholesome. It's so funny.
He's so cool.
He's cool, man.
One man. Of the greats, man.
Gutter.